one of the concerns is the ability of the federal government to do what they say. And if someone came up to me and they said, you know what, Representative Corcoran, I know you don't have the money and you got a bunch of kids, but I have a $4 million house on the beach. You can have it for the first 3 years. I got a guy who's going to pay the whole thing. And then after that, all you have to do is come up with 10% of the mortgage and it's yours. And I move in, I get comfortable. My kids are playing on the beach every day. We get comfortable with that lifestyle and it's wonderful. And then the 10% kicks in and it turns out it's not 10%, it's something else. And you have this huge upheaval. But along the way, I say to the guy, I say, well, wait a second. Who's this great benefactor who's going to be giving me all this money? And he says, oh, don't worry about it. He's a great guy. His name's Gary Madoff. And I say that in facetious, but you cannot rely on somebody giving us money when they're borrowing upwards of 50 cents on every dollar that they spend. That's not realistic.
The federal government has never welched on the deal. We have been in situations before where we had huge debts. After World War II and after the New Deal in the 30s, we had enormous debts. But no one saw the government welching on anything because the economy bounced back and was vibrant and robust, and there were taxes and there was enough to keep us going. And that will happen again. I just find the short-sightedness of thinking that this is, you know, the end of the world if we allow the government to help people who have between 100 and 138% of the poverty level. These are people who don't have a spare dime to pay for private insurance. Yeah, I'm all for insurance. I'd rather have insurance than go on Medicaid. I have insurance and I don't go on Medicaid. But there are people who can't afford it. This short-sightedness of not going with this plan is just ideologically motivated, and there's something wrong, and there's something going on here that I really don't understand. I find it very upsetting.
It's not a question, really, of welching. It's a matter of looking at the reality of things. You know, it was alluded to that in the past, the government had made good on all their promises. Well, in the past, they didn't have the enormous entitlement programs that they do today. The federal deficit is what the federal deficit is. That's not a partisan discussion. Numbers are what numbers are. And so I think there is a very legitimate concern. I think to the people listening at home, to the people in this audience, can you honestly say that as we sit here through what was just the sequester conversation and was just the fiscal cliff conversation, that occurred at the end of the last year, and the many other budgetary questions that are going on in the federal government, can anybody honestly say they have a clear, decisive view of what the federal government's budget picture is going to look like for the rest of this year, let alone for a decade? Think about that. This decision is based on information and data, and numbers are what numbers are. They're irrefutable. And I would just ask the members to think very, very cautiously. This decision will outweigh us. We're all term limited. Our time here is fleeting, and we're blessed to have it. But at the end of the day, this decision will impact Floridians for decades. And we know that it hasn't always worked out so well when people look at short-term gain instead of long-term vision. Members, I ask you, don't be caught up in a few pieces of silver and miss the big picture.
Let's not underestimate the human spirit. We do live in the United States of America. Medicaid expansion may or may not be a good idea, but if we decide in some manner, whether it's through Medicaid expansion or through something else, that we'd rather have 7% of people in our state uninsured than 21 or 22%, somehow I think we can figure it out. I think when you have 100% of Medicare being paid as opposed to 53%, maybe people will work more. Maybe I just can't believe that in our country somehow our excuse for not treating people who don't have insurance is that we don't have people to treat you. I don't find that a persuasive argument.